Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service here in Arizona. Hope everybody is doing well. And a quick little note, the chat is not working. It gave up, so we will figure that out and hopefully find either a new provider or their new system will work again. So apologize, the chat isn't working, but that's just the way it goes sometimes. Also, after our service, please hang around for Hour of Truth, and we'll be rebroadcasting a service from Texas because the crew is only about an hour and a half away from us down in Quartzsite. So let's go ahead and get started.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock is salvation. Cannot be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock is salvation. Be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like God. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. righteousness. If people see his glory, for you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The earth rejoice. The earth rejoice. The earth rejoice. Let the people be glad.
Name of Good morning, everybody. This week coming up is Thanksgiving. And I don't know about anyone else, but it's made me really take stock of everything that the Lord has blessed us with and how unthankful I am in my daily walk. Last year I got a glass jar to fill with notes to, at Thanksgiving, pull out and remember what the Lord has done for us each year. And I noticed this week I was moving some furniture around and I noticed that it wasn't even half full. But I know that the Lord has abundantly blessed us beyond what that little container can take. I mean, it's not a little container, but still, beyond what that can hold, the Lord has blessed us abundantly above that. And yet, it's not full. Which makes me think, do I thank Him for the things that He blesses us with? Do I thank Him daily? Do I recognize where the good things come from? This morning I was praying about what to speak on. And the words, love the Lord thy God, came to me. So I did a search. And it was interesting because I was talking to my daughter this week and one of the things I said to her was, you know, the Bible talks about Matthew 18:16. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. There's more to that, I know that, but there's when the Lord uses the same scripture multiple times, to me it says it's important. It's important that we know these things. So I did a search for love the Lord thy God. And it was interesting because Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Mark 12:30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Luke 10:27 says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And for those of you who like the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I think the point is you need to love the Lord thy God with every fiber of your being. And in my flesh, I know that's impossible. I am not able to love Him like that. But you know, we learned something at conference about His faith. I thank God for His grace as well, because if He showed me everything that I need to fix in one go, or that's wrong, everything that needs fixing in me in one go, I'd just give up. But He's not like that. He's a graceful God. He shows you as they come up. I'm guessing that the point here is that I need to love the Lord my God with every fiber of my being. More than my child, more than my husband, more than things, more than anything on this earth. I need to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. It struck me, Philip said, if you hear it and don't obey it, what does it profit? If you don't hear it and you don't obey it, what does it profit? And I was thinking about the contrast to loving the Lord thy God. You know, that first commandment is kind of a key one. So is the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think those are really important, partially because it ties in with 2 Timothy 3, 2-5. Without loving God first and foremost, and then you are able to love others. Without that in your life, 2 Timothy 3, 2-5 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." That's kind of the opposite. If you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, then that's where you are. You are a lover of your own self, and everything that follows that is what you are. There's no time like the present to love the Lord thy God, to put that on and to walk in that fully, and to put off that old man. I don't want to be one of those who has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. There's no time like the present. There's no time like the present to be thankful for what the Lord has done in your life, to recognize it and to make that change. I think it was Scott was talking this morning about when you change, there's people see it. We need to be different. And if we're not different, I've heard it mentioned that we need to act differently. No, you need to be different. You don't need to act different. You need to be different. Christians need to be the light. We need to be seen as the light, not that people can't tell the difference between us and the rest of the world. And there's no time like the present to change that and to fully walk in the Lord, in His love, in His ways, in His understanding, in His power, His grace, His faith. Because we are able through Him.
Thanks, Sue. A couple quick points. You know, in all of those scriptures you read with regards to love the Lord thy God, in no place does He tell us to love Him with our flesh. Not a single place. And there's a reason for that. Because our flesh is incapable of doing it. That's why we have to trust in the faith of Christ and the love of Christ, and we have to rely on that. And what it means to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, is you put Him first. And if you're going to put Him first, you know, a while back, I don't know how clear it was, boy, it sure made sense to me at the time. I asked a question. We have a lemon tree out there. Is it a lemon tree because there's lemons on it? Or is it a lemon tree because it's a lemon tree? Does the fruit make the tree, or does the tree make the fruit? Right? I mean, it's a lemon tree. It makes lemons. If it was a lemon tree, if I went to Home Depot and Lowe's or whatever and bought a lemon tree, got it home, and it started bearing grapes, there would be a problem because it was mislabeled. And they don't look the same either. I mean, that would just not work. No, I bought a lemon tree and we had lemons. I actually picked one the other day and peeled it and tried it. It was definitely lemon. I mean, for sure, it was lemon. Found out my wife's been using it to cook with. I mean, we have a lemon tree. That's what it is. We can go and see it's lemons on there. When Scott was talking this morning, it was a great analogy. I really liked that about under new management. If you've truly been converted, your life will be different. And you're not going to have to manufacture the difference. And that's the distinction I wanted to just bring out briefly, is that you don't have to be something. You are just are something. Amen. The tree out there doesn't have to think, I got to be a lemon. I got to be a lemon. I got to make 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 a lemon. Ooh, I got to. Oh, no, it's an orange. No. Oh, God, I made another orange. No, it just grows and makes lemons. That's what it is to be a Christian. You're not out trying to do anything. You're not out trying to be this or trying to be that. You, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have committed your life to Him, you just are. Amen. You are a believer. It doesn't say that, boy, Christians should be the light of the world. It says they are the light of the world. You understand? It's not about working to be anything. If you have accepted Christ, if you believe on Him, if that be true, then you are a believer. And you will shine forth the light and love of Christ. It's not something you manufacture. It's just something that happens. Do y'all see the difference? There are a lot of places that will tell you you have to manufacture it. They don't use that phrase, but that's what they're getting to. You have to be this or have to be that. No, it doesn't work that way. If that's the gospel you're after, that's works righteousness. That's not grace. It's not the gospel. Now, how do we battle our flesh in this? I mean, I have chosen to serve Christ. I have asked Him to be my Lord and my Savior. I serve Him. That is my existence on this world for as long as I am here, is to serve Him. Now, will there be conflicts that arise? Yeah, because my flesh, the part that He says, don't worry about, right? That part of me that I am unfortunately stuck in hates God. Hates Him. It's cursed. It's without redemption. And it hates God. And it actively seeks for my soul to not seek God and not want God. Jesus was talking one time, and He had just wrapped up. Gosh, we've talked about this a lot. And over in Luke 14:25, we should know this one by heart. It says, "And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them." Now I'm going to not read accurately. Boy, I'm so glad you guys are here and can contribute and be part of what's going on. Is that what He says to him next? No. We all know what He says. No, He turns to them and He's going to put into very practical words what it is to love God. See, your flesh doesn't want to love God. It wants to live in fear. It wants to live in selfishness. It wants to live in idolatry. And it wants you to agree with it.
This is what Jesus says to him. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. When you make that choice to serve God, he becomes the most important thing, person, in your life. Everything else no longer matters. That's what it is to love God. And it's that simple. If you can resolve to put the Lord first by choice, not by feeling, but by choice, then the fruit of that choice is going to manifest in your life by default. You're not going to have to manufacture stuff. It's just going to be there. If you put God first, if you serve him first, then loving your brother, loving your sister, that's just going to happen. It's just going to be there. Just like I go out to my lemon tree and there's lemons on it. It makes lemons because that's what it does. It's a lemon tree. If you are a believer in Christ, you are going to be like Christ. You're just going to be that way because that's what you are. You know, it's funny that Christians have adopted the Christmas tree so thoroughly. And I said this months ago in something. It was Christians, they take a tree that does not bear any fruit and they stuff a bunch of stuff on it and say, look how pretty it is. Then they throw it away and it goes to a landfill. Or they stuff it in a box. I mean, even worse, the plastic tree is not even real. I mean, if you could just see the similarities of what's happening there as compared to when Jesus talks about tree bearing fruit, you just think about that a little bit, because it's, I think it was pretty telling. It sort of still strikes me as interesting. I think about this passage in Scripture here in Luke a lot, because it's one that continuously convicts me. When Sue was talking about, you know, if the Lord showed her all the things she had to change and then she corrected herself, we are just, we're unfixable in our flesh. Just unfixable. But that's what God's, not God is here to fix our flesh, but God is here to redeem us from it. And when we choose to serve him, if we're going to be his disciple, this is his words, right? This is what he's saying. If this doesn't fit your idea of Christianity, you've missed it. Because this is it right here. I lost my... There we go. It goes on, verse 27 says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And he continues on to say, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." What he was doing when he turned to these people is he was very clearly giving them the cost of what it was to follow him. That's not done nearly enough in the so-called church today. Because to follow Christ, to follow after Christ, costs you everything. And yet it costs you nothing. Because what is it that you have? You have nothing of value to offer him. And that little that you think you have is worth nothing. Now here's the thing that's the about the goodness and greatness of God. Because if you read this and you don't understand what he's saying, you impute emotion into the word hate. God is not telling me to hate my wife. In fact, in Scripture, it tells me to what? Love my wife. But never am I to prefer my wife over God, or my children over God, or my parents over God. Never. God is first, always. And that's what this is saying. If you're not willing to put him first over everything, you cannot be his disciple. Period. There is no negotiation on that point. You know, I listened to, keep an eye out, we have plenty of time, but I don't want to go longer than I need to. I listened to this so-called Christian psychologist talking about how to parent your children. I look forward to telling my dad about this story when he is here, or I see him Tuesday. We'll go into it now. Too much. It was just blew my mind, because really what it was teaching parents to do was negotiate with their children. Now, I could just see how that's going to work when they come face to face with God. And that is what that they he was teaching them: manipulation, negotiation, psychology, all of which is opposite of what we're to do. All under the guise of Christianity. There is no negotiation on this point. There's none. I mean, this is it. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, that's a key, he cannot be my disciple. Cannot be. No negotiation on that point. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to have the change of management in your heart from you managing it or God managing it, this right here, these are the requirements. There's no movement on this point. Now, that seems pretty hard. Harsh, I should say. But it's only harsh if you serve an evil master. Amen. You see, that's the difference. See, it's only harsh if you serve a boss that's not righteous. But God is righteous. He is just. He is loving. And let me tell you, he knows better for you than you know for yourself. And if you can trust him, if you can say, all right, Lord, I'm going to do this. And you do it and you put him first in everything. Let me tell you, not only will he redeem your life, but all those things you think you're giving up, he can fix them. You talk about the Thanksgiving jar we had. I started writing down, and then I realized I'm going to be here all day. I'm being honest here because I said, gosh, if I sit down every day and write down all the blessings of God, I'll never get any work done. And I quit. I sat down one day and I was like, goodness, I got this one. And it just kept more and more and more and more and more. You don't have to fear serving God. If this was the absolute requirement, and there was a mean, ogre, nasty guy that you couldn't trust, now that would stink. But that's not God. That is not God. That is not a God that gave his own son for, I know we talked about this last week, a God who gave his only son just for the chance that you might be saved. That's love. You know, the scripture that comes to mind just briefly here, if I can get to it. Well, I know I can get to it. Just how quickly I can get to it. All right, over in Romans 5, and I'm going to start in verse 6. See, this is the love of God, and this is why you do not need to fear a verse like we just read in Luke. Because to do so, if you do that verse in Luke, then all that other stuff you're concerned about, he's going to take care of it. All right. So we look over here in Romans. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. He didn't die for all the righteous people. There were none. He died for the ungodly. Why? Because that's who needed his help. He died for the ungodly. He goes on to say, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if that is the character and nature of God, what is there to fear in putting him first in your life? Nothing. Every thought and imagination that would tell you otherwise is a lie. God is good. And he is faithful. And he is just. And he is love. And his hand is outstretched to all who would receive it. For all who would call upon him and take it, he is there. Yes, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Reject the selfishness of this flesh and set the Lord as first in your heart. And don't let anything pull you off of that place. You make that choice. You make that decision. You won't have to go think about being anything. You're going to be it. Just like my lemon tree makes lemons. It doesn't have to work hard to do it. They're just there.
friend, Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given, Jesus Christ, His Son.
Of your
Thank you for joining us today.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.